Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Amen, amen, amen. We serve a great God. Amen, we serve a great God. Amen, we serve a great God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are a victorious people. We are a victorious people. Even in death, we are victorious. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. We are a victorious people. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. We serve a great God. I want to say it one more time. We serve a great God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And we're also going to read from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. But Jeremiah 29, and beginning with verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives. I want you to seek peace with the people that I caused you to be captive by. It was my will for you to be carried away to Babylon. And now I want you to seek peace with them. And pray unto the Lord for it. For who? For the city that holds you captive. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you, my good word toward you, and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, begins verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, everyone say joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I come this morning with a heavy heart. I come this morning with a heavy burden. And I want to preach on this simple thought: the legacy of the Lord. The legacy of the Lord. I want you to lay your Bibles down and let's pray that God will have his way in this service today. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will have your way. God, I bind every spirit that would try to hinder the moving power and the working of your spirit. God, in Jesus' name, have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way, Lord. in the name of Jesus. And everyone say amen. Amen. And you can be seated if you smiled at least once today. Some of you sat down anyway. In this world, there are two kingdoms. And each and every one of us live and serve in one of those kingdoms. As we sit here this morning in this building, each and every one of us lives and serves one of these two kingdoms. First, there is the kingdom of light, and then there is the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of light, you will find righteousness and peace. In the kingdom of darkness, there is evil and iniquity. The kingdom of darkness is presided over by the father of lies, and it is filled with hurt and heartache, sickness and pain, death and destruction. This is a kingdom that is a denial of all of the virtues and graces of God. In this kingdom, you will not find forgiveness. You will not find mercy and grace. You will not find healing and comfort. You will not find that everlasting joy. In this kingdom, you will only find oppression and depression. You will only find heartache and pain. You will only find disease and sickness, and then eventually death. But in the kingdom of light, there is no sorrow. There is no sickness. There is no pain. There is no death. In the kingdom of light, you will find the light, a God of righteousness, a God of mercy, a God of peace, as well as a God of war. You will find a God who cares enough to chastise us when we are disobedient, a God who cares enough to take away so that we might have. The kingdom of light is a kingdom of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In this kingdom, the citizens manifest the fruits of the Spirit because they are connected to the Spirit. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We are born into this world a citizen of the kingdom of darkness. And as we grow older, we soon begin to realize that in this kingdom, there is no hope. There is no desire for the God of this world for us to have ambitions for a better life. So he robs them from us. He steals everything that is good and holy and leaves you with a broken body and shattered dreams. The kingdom of this world has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But the God of the kingdom of light has come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. In the kingdom of light, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God told the prophet to tell Israel, "I'm not going to set you free just yet. You're going to live in captivity for another 70 years. At times, you are going to be mistreated and treated badly. At times, you will suffer persecution. But listen to me and listen to me, please." God told them, "I want you to pray for those who hold you captive. For when they prosper, you shall prosper." That's the kingdom of light. Pray for them that persecute you. Luke 11:6-28 says, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Pray for your tormentors to prosper. For when they prosper, you will prosper." That's the kingdom of light. Amen. Pray for those who come against you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who harm you. Pray for those who curse you. For when they do, God will bless you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm preaching to some people here that live in the kingdom of light, amen. And I'm preaching to some people here this morning that live in the kingdom of darkness. And I am doing everything I can to persuade you to step on over and join this army. Hallelujah. This is an army that's going to be victorious. This is an army that's going to live forever. This is an army, hallelujah, that's going to march on even in trouble, even in trials, even in death. This army is going to march, hallelujah, for we serve a great God. We serve a victorious God. We serve a God who cares. Amen. There are a number of verses in the Bible that talk about suffering. Romans 5, 3 and 5 says, 3 through 5 says, and not only so, but we glory in our tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. We should rejoice in suffering because it sharpens and strengthens us to become a bigger, a better and stronger Christian. Not only that, but in 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Hallelujah. Although we may suffer in this life, hallelujah, hallelujah, as does the non-believer, but everything that happens to the believer happens to the good. It happens for your benefit, because God is building you. God is molding you. God is making you into a Christian that he wants you to become. Hallelujah. I'm going through what I'm going through because God has an expected end for my life. We should rejoice in suffering. That's crazy talk, but I live in the kingdom of light. When things get tough around me, I need to rejoice. When things get hard for me, I need to rejoice. When things get bad for me, I need to shout. Because God, he's working in my life. Woo. Hallelujah. The non-believer goes through the same thing you go through. They go through heartache, they go through pain, they go through sickness, they go through death, they go through these things, but when a child of God goes through it, we've got an expected end. Something's going to be at the end of that journey. And to those of you that make it, there is a crown of righteousness. And because we are connected to the Spirit, we have joy. Because we are connected to the Spirit, there is joy. It is joy unspeakable, and it's full of glory. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost inside of my life. And in that joy, we find our strength. Our strength to pick our head up and keep marching. Our strength to get out of bed and keep marching. Our strength to walk through the doors of this church and shout. In that joy, we find our strength. Strength to overcome. Strength to endure. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says this. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine.
and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. True joy is that overwhelming sense of comfort and contentment that floods one's soul. It is the thing that we have when we are walking with the Holy Ghost and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Since joy is a fruit of the Spirit, it is a special gift that only the believer can partake of. What I'm preaching to you about, the world can't have it. My friend, this is for those who have been bought by the blood of Calvary. For those who walk in the name of Jesus. Then, my friend, you can partake of the joy of the Lord. Although we may suffer in life. Amen. Put Jeremiah 29 back up there. I want you to read it for me. Jeremiah the 29. I just want you to read verse 7. 29, verse 7. Can you read it?
Seek the peace of the city.
And seek the peace of the city.
Whither I have caused you to be carried away captives.
I cause you to be captive in that city.
And pray unto the Lord for it.
And pray unto the Lord for that city.
For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace.
For the peace that's in the city, you're going to partake of. Hallelujah. What you need to do is wake up on your Monday morning and you need to start praying for your tormentors. You need to start praying for those who come against you. You need to start praying for your boss. You need to start praying for your job. You need to start praying for your co-workers. You need to start praying for your kids. You need to start praying for those around you. And in so doing, God is going to fill you with joy. Although we may suffer in life, Jeremiah 29 and 11 is not reassuring because God is going to shower us with only success and blessings in life. But it is reassuring because it means God has a purpose for our suffering. Don't you get discouraged and walk away from God because you're in a storm. My friend, when you come out of that storm, there's going to be blessings. There's going to be joy. There's going to be abundance. Don't quit. Don't give up. There is joy. It's coming in the morning. Years is a long time to live in captivity. That's a long time to suffer at the hands of your enemy. And it showed that God does things at his timing, not ours. What we want to happen isn't necessarily always in line with God's plan. Thank God for that. God has a plan. He has an expected end. And I must learn to trust him. I must learn to obey him. I must learn to have faith in him. He has an expected end for my life. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man, come on, are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. The way of the Christian is hard. But I'm going to delight. I'm going to take pleasure in whatever comes my way. I'm going to keep my hands to the plow, Brother Yon. I'm going to keep my focus straight. I'm going to keep my head up. Amen. Because there's something inside of me that there is not in them in the world. That is the love of God. That is the joy of the Holy Ghost. I am walking in the kingdom of light. And I dare not let any thread of the kingdom of darkness penetrate into my world. Second Corinthians 12 and 10 says, therefore I take pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then, come on, somebody shout it. Somebody shout it. Then I am strong. At the weakest point of my life, I am at my strength. I am at my strength. I am stronger when I am weaker. Don't you ever forget it, child of God. Don't you ever forget what I'm preaching to you, saint of God. When infirmities are coming your way and difficulties there surround you, then you are at your strength. Proverbs 20:24 says, man's goings are the Lord. Yeah. How can a man then understand his own way? If my path is ordered by the Lord, then how can I understand it? Quit praying, why God? Quit trying to figure out what God has for you, why God's putting you through what you're going through. Just understand that when you get through it, there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a blessing. God knows where he's taking me. God has a plan for my life. God has a plan for your life. I don't understand why I'm going through some of the things I'm going through. I don't know why, but I do know I'm going to trust him. 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 If you're thinking that God is going to let you tiptoe through the tulips your whole life, you're sadly mistaken. The Bible teaches us to pick up our cross daily and follow him. The cross is ugly. The cross is painful. The cross is suffering. We're in the kingdom of light, where our understanding doesn't make a lick of sense. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by what we can see in the natural, what we can see through our carnal eyes. We walk by faith. We serve a God, and we are in the kingdom of God. Therefore, we must serve him with faith.
Put Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 up, please. Jesus is our perfect example on how to endure the cross. The Bible teaches us that we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. Well, let's look at Jesus and see how he endured the cross for a minute. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what that actually means? In the Greek or the Hebrew, the Greek, the author and the finisher, that's talking about the editor. Help me out, honey. He's the author and the editor of our life. In other words, he can edit the mistakes that we make along the way.
He is the author and the editor of my life. So when I come up short, God can edit that part. God can restore me back to his glory. God can restore me back to his church. God can restore me back to the altar. He is the editor of my life. Hallelujah. That should give some of us hope. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy was set before him. And because of the joy, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew what it was that God wanted him to do. Don't think for a second he didn't know what he was facing. He didn't want to do it. There was a conflict there between the will of God and the will of man. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The man, Jesus, did not want to endure the suffering, the beatings, the cruelty, the shame, the mockery. He didn't want to face it. But rather than running off and doing his own will, Jesus went right to God in prayer. He did not seek comfort at the bottom of a bottle. He did not seek for recreational drugs to numb his mind. He did not gorge himself with food or seek to forget his troubles in the arms of another woman. He did not cut himself off from those around him. He did not curl up by himself somewhere and sleep for hours on end, depressed and miserable. No, he did not. When there was a conflict in Jesus, he went to God in prayer. And it was in that time of prayer that God not only reminded him of his purpose, but also reminded him of his destination. It was there he found the joy to endure the cross. Jesus was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. God's solution to Jesus' request, let this cup pass from me, was to give him joy, not to give him a bottle of pills to numb the pain of his body and mind, not to give him a shot of morphine. No, his request was, I don't want to do it. But God's solution was to give him joy, was to give him joy. Jesus was able to face the cruel and agonizing and shameful death of the cross. It was because of the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. There was nothing in his immediate situation that called for joy. He still faced the suffering. He still faced the humiliation of the cross. But God gave him a look beyond the cross. God gave him a glimpse of beyond the cross. Not just to his resurrection, but beyond even that, seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. He saw himself seated at the right hand of the Father. And that gave him joy. That gave him joy. I want you to look past your troubles. I want you to look past your faults. I want you to look past all the things you're going through. And I want you to see yourself sitting at the right hand of the Father. Woo! The solution to your problem is not drugs. Not alcohol, not immorality. The solution to your problem is to look past your problems and see the destination that God has set in front of you. And when you can look past that, and when you see yourself in his presence, oh, there's a joy that's going to overwhelm you. It's going to engulf you. It's going to envelop you. It's going to pick you up, and you're going to look at the problems. You're going to look at the situation. You're going to throw your shoulders back, and you're going to march forward, because you know on the other side, There's the presence of the Almighty God. I'm going to be with my Father. I'm going to be with Him in all eternity. That gives me joy. That picks my spirits up. That picks my spirits up. I'm going to be with my Heavenly Father. I just got to get through what He caused me to go through. I'm going through this because He has an expected end for me. And the only way that I can step into that end is to make it through this. Because that end is too big for who I am now. That end is too great for who I am currently. And if I bypass this and try to fit in that, I'll die. But if I can make it through this, and if I can make it through that, I'm going to step into what God has for me, and I'm going to fit perfectly. It's not going to overwhelm me. It's not going to cause me to stumble and fall. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 16 and 8, verse through 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for that Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The pleasures that you partake of in the kingdom of light, when the lights go down at night, you're not going to be crying yourself to sleep. Instead, you're going to be singing praises. Now listen to this. The citizens of that kingdom of light are happy citizens. Matthew 5, 3 and 6, can you please put that on the board? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The actual Greek word for blessed is makarios, M-A-R-K-A-R-I-O-S, which means happy or glad. So let's reread that scripture in its original text. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. The first characteristic that you would notice about a citizen of the kingdom of light is the people are happy. The first characteristic that you're going to notice about a person that serves God is that they are happy. And when you show up on work and your co-workers know everything and your life is falling apart, you're singing, you're dancing. There's something inside of you. Hallelujah. And the world can notice. The world takes notice. Hallelujah. How can that person be so happy? How can that person be going through the things they're going through and still sing and still dance? I'll tell you, I am a citizen of the kingdom of light. I've got joy. I've got joy. We are happy because we know we haven't expected in. We're happy because we know the pain and suffering we are going through is to make us stronger and to glorify our Lord and Savior. For a kingdom of light citizen is to be a happy citizen. If you're going through something and you're not happy, you need to get yourself to an altar. You need to check yourself. Amen. You need to evaluate your situation. Amen. But if you're going through something and you're not happy, Amen. You need the joy of God residing in your soul. And today's a good time to let it start. Amen. One full of hope and joy and life. It is this trait of God's people that impresses the world more than any other trait or characteristic that of a kingdom of light possesses. The characteristic of being happy when everything around you is miserable. I read this the other day. Listen to me, please. Joyfulness is characteristic of the soul that lives in communion with God. And that soul unconsciously will persuade others to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that blessed is the man that trusts in him. I'm going to read you a poem. I'm going to read you this poem because it was written by an infidel. It was written by an atheist. It was written by an unbeliever. I read it to you that you might see what it is that impresses somebody living in the kingdom of darkness. It is called The Washerwoman's Song. This unbeliever, daily or weekly, had a washerwoman. And her life, though it was difficult and hard-pressed, this man wrote the words to this poem. In a very humble cot, in a rather quiet spot, in the suds and in the soap, worked a woman full of hope. Working, singing all alone, in a sort of undertone, with a Savior for my friend, he will keep me to the end. Not in sorrow nor in glee, working all day long was she. And her children, three or four, played around her on the floor. But in monotones, the song she was humming all day long, with the Savior for my friend, he will keep me to the end. It's a song I do not sing, for I do not believe a thing of the stories that are told of the miracles of old. But I know that her belief is an antidote for her grief, and that Christ will be her friend, and he will keep her to the end. Just a trifle lonesome she, just as poor can be, but her spirits always rose like the bubbles in the clothes. And though widowed and alone, cheered her with the monotone of a Savior for her friend who will keep her to the end. I have seen her rub and scrub on the washboard in the tub with the baby soaked in suds, rolled and fumbled in the duds, or with padded in the pools, with old scissors stuck in spools. She was humming of her friend who would keep her to the end. Human hopes and human creeds have their roots in human needs, and I would not wish to strip from that washerwoman's lips any song that she can sing, any hope that song could bring. For the woman has a friend, and he will keep her to the end. I'm preaching about joy. 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 When you've got the joy of the Holy Ghost, nothing in this world matters. When you've got the joy of the Holy Ghost, nothing in this world matters. There is a friend who's going to keep you to the end. Happiness is not found in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. It's not found in possession and fame." The British Prime Minister, Disraeli, enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." It's not found in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent before he said, "There are no more worlds to conquer." I would rather be the poor washerwoman scrubbing than to be the finest, richest, most intellectual, acceptable infidel in the world. Because I know the infidel has no answers, and I know that he is not happy. But I know the washerwoman is. As she scrubs her clothes and as she does her chores, she has a Savior who will keep her to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wrongly equate joy with escaping the cares of this world, but joy gives us the ability to face them with strength. We're prone to want to God to change our circumstances when he in fact wants to change our character. I'm going to say that again. We're prone to want God to change our circumstances when he in fact wants to change our character. When I can't find my joy and I am just that much removed from the blessedness of my dear Lord and Savior, and when you see me down and discouraged and I'm not at my finest and best and I just can't seem to find my joy, I need to have a little talk with Jesus. Hallelujah. I need to have a little talk with Jesus. I want to sing that song. Hallelujah. Let's take a break and let's sing it. Let us have a little talk with Jesus. You see me discouraged? I need to have a little talk with Jesus. And fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Oh, I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus is gonna make everything all right. Yeah, I'm preaching about the joy. Do you have the joy inside of you today? Today's my wife's birthday. Amen. Happy birthday, honey. I love you. Amen. I need to get right and I need to be right. You can be seated. And when I am discouraged and sitting under the proverbial juniper tree, I have to have a little talk with Jesus. David said in Psalm 51 and 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." Charles Spurgeon wrote, "If any of you have lost the joy of the Lord, I pray you do not think it a small thing." Robert Louis Stevenson at life's end said, "To miss the joy of the Lord is to miss everything." Miracles. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are they that suffer, for they shall be comforted. Hallelujah. God has some better things in store for us. Through our tears, we are to see the face of Jesus. And through our bereavement and our separation, we are to see the glorious of the promise of heaven. Happy are they who suffer. Happy are they who go through trials. Happy are they who go through some things in your life, because God is making you into the person God wants you to become. Are God's people. Come on, let's all stand up and sing this song. Come on, that's it, Brother B. She's got the joy. Come on, that's it, precious sister. She's got the joy. Come on, if you got the joy of the Holy Ghost, you need to flood these altars. You need to flood these aisles right now. Come on. I've got the joy of the Holy Ghost. Woo! I'm preaching about the joy. I'm preaching about the legacy of the Lord. If you're in this place today and you do not have the Holy Ghost, you have never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm asking you to take a brave step and make your way to this altar and throw your hands up and say, God, I want the joy. I want the joy that that preacher's talking about. I want to partake of the blessings of the kingdom of light. If you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, buried in his name, take that step and come forward. Amen. I am trying to reach into the kingdom of darkness, and I'm trying to pull you to the kingdom of light. His hand upon this church. Brother Torres, you hear me and you hear me good. There is coming a day in the near future at an altar service like this, there's not going to be anybody in those pews. You hear me? Whatever it is that is standing in the way, whatever it is that is keeping you back there from stepping out and letting go and letting God, God is going to rip that from here. God is going to reach down and he is going to pull that back. Amen. You're either going to let it go or you're going to be snatched out of here. There is coming a move of God that's going to shake this city, that's going to shake this place. Amen. Hallelujah. There is a presence of God in this place right now. Hallelujah. And God wants to step forth and God wants to touch somebody's life. Now, I delivered my soul. I preached my soul out here today. Amen. And I believe that God is wanting to touch somebody's life. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. You know what that means? He lives, he abides, he encamps in the praises of his people. And when the people refuse to step out and give him that praise, hear what I'm telling you. Amen. Hear what I'm telling you. There are some people here today that is going through some things, and those things would change if you just let God abide in your situation. If you just swallow your pride, swallow your arrogance, swallow anything that would stop, and get out and just jump a little bit, wave your hands a little bit, and let God have his way. Hallelujah. There's some things in your life that's going to take an about face and begin marching away from you instead of with you. If you're going through the same problems you was going through last year, something's wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Every one of you need to be ashamed of yourself. Every one of you. Every one of you. If this precious sister, weak in her body, if this precious dear saint of God, weak in her body, and going through the things that she's suffering the way she suffers, if she can get out here and she can run the best of her ability, amen. Amen. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Amen. Amen. If you have the ability to walk, you need to get out and walk. If you've got the ability to jump, you need to get out and jump. If you've got the ability to shout, you need to shout. Hallelujah. If you've got the ability to let go and let God, you need to let go and let God. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm telling you, God is in this place. God is in this place right now. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. God is in this place. Hallelujah.